Broadcasting Network.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves.
Oh, welcome back,
pray
my friends.
God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take
special hour
offering of protecting your wealth. The piece we just shared with you was really quite interesting. I don't deny that there's many, many, many mistakes within that particular presentation that my wife and I have made over the years. And she's had her share of it. I've had my share of it. I guess the biggest problem we see in this country is that nobody looks, I can do that. See if that'll help. I meant to do that before I went on the air. Does that help? Yeah, cool. Good. Sorry about that. I just found a little bit of a ground now. We could have gotten rid of that a long time ago. I forgot to unplug something. We tend in this country, I guess, maybe more so than many, many other countries, to stop thinking about tomorrow. We tend to think about today. And so we have to start somewhere. As this new year begins, maybe it's a good time to look ahead. Now, there are those who believe that overall things are looking good. Global economy's picking up momentum. Interest rates remain at low levels. Earnings are strong. Sentiment is positive. And most of our technical indicators are bullish. I might seriously consider changing the spelling of that last word, but I won't use it on the air. According to this particular writer, the U.S. dollar is now breaking down again. It's declined about 10% so far this year. Oh, wow. 4 days old, and we've broken down another 10%. But he says this is actually good for stocks, the economy, gold, the resource sector, and commodities in general. In fact, copper's been surging, hitting a four-year high, likely leading the way up for resources in the future, looking bright. After years of low prices, the stronger global economy means greater demand, especially out of China, and better times for the resource sector as 2018 unfolds. Plus, the tax code changes are expected to boost infrastructure spending, further increasing demand for industrial metals. And since copper is widely used in construction, it's set to continue benefiting from ongoing demand. This is funny, my reading this piece about copper. Amongst the items that are in our catalog is copper. Copper rounds, typically 1 ounce, although they've begun to do some 2 ounce and some 5 ounce. And they used to do some marvelous quarter ounce pieces that I have a whole case of. And yet they're no longer making it, which is a shame because I like the size of them. I think about them in terms of barter and trade when we finally see silver explode beyond anything that's recognizable to any of us today. Our author goes on to say copper is often referred to as Dr. Copper. And that's because it's used as a barometer to measure the global economy. And based on copper strength, it's telling us the economy is healthy. This is bullish action, and several of the resources are following copper's lead. Well, that's funny, because I pulled a piece the other day, and I think it had to do with Detroit. But a bunch of thugs were breaking into some vacant homes. The Chinese haven't bought all of them up yet. And they were trying to rip off the copper, except they didn't bother to check that the power hadn't been turned off, and these dumb jerks electrocuted themselves. I'm sorry, I find it funny. Crude oil is having a good, strong market. It's a 2.5-year high, which means you and I'll just pay more at the pump. Production is slowing. We can see the oil price much higher in the months ahead. But then, of course, Trump came and he's going to open up the pathway for drilling pretty much everywhere. Yeah, it is. How's your CDs doing? 0.5% if you're lucky. Yeah, and gold had a 14% gain this year. Not too bad. Seems to finally be coming alive. It's built a strong base for the last couple of years. It's again benefiting as a safe haven, poised to head much, much higher as 2018 unfolds. And so I will continue to recommend keeping your gold and your precious metals positions. I don't mean ETFs. I don't mean paper gold, paper silver. I'm talking about the real thing. Because all things considered, 2018 could be a year the turnaround in the metals truly gets going. It's unusual for metals to break out this early in the year. And yet, information we get out of the U.S. Mint says that 2017 was one of the worst years they'd had for metal sales. I have a client who I had to close out his precious metals IRA today. He is unfortunately suffering for some very deep stage 4 cancer situations, and he's still trying to shake the monkey and buy into the allopathic, or as I refer to it, pathetic medical treatments for cancer. I'm sorry if that's offensive to some of you, but it's a reality factor. I have a website that I've had for 18 years now that specifically deals with that issue. It's called drkelly.info, drkelly.info, as in information. I strongly advise you spend some time there. I spent a lot of time with dietary-related issues. We've got a whole segment on thyroidism. We've got a section in there on heart disease, and a whole section called Kelly's Kitchen, which deals with foods and, in some cases, recipes. In other cases, the pro and cons of particular kinds of foods and oils. And be very wary of olive oil that's touted as extra virgin. The only thing that's virgin about it is there's probably very little olive oil in it. In most instances, there's a wide range of things like this that we deal with. But this gentleman has been a client for many, many years. He's been living in Europe, but he's reaching the end. And unfortunately, he's reaching out for every dime he's got to continue with whatever this damn treatment is they're giving him, which isn't doing him very well. So these are things we have to watch for. And all I can say is stay tuned. This year could be proved to be a very exciting year for metals investors. And having said that, we're going to have some discussion about one of the metals, not gold. There's an old adage that I learned many years ago. You buy gold to hold, you buy silver to spend. Now, a little bit later in this program, I want to give you an economic lesson that will kind of go back to what James and Dennis were talking about in that little back and forth interview. And I'm going to talk to you about a time that goes back to before 1970, when you could buy a particular item for X, and now let's take a look at what it's worth. And, oh, my God, you tell me that that isn't a perfect example of compounding? Yeah, yeah, but we're going to get to that shortly. It is very common for us to read around the various financial sites that gold is money. We love to point out that silver has been money longer than gold. Oh, and by the way, copper was money before silver was. But sometimes when we look at situations or images long enough, we begin to stop seeing certain aspects, characteristics or attributes that are right at the end of our noses, which is what's happened with a lot of people. After they look at silver for so long, it seems that you begin to overlook the fact that silver has been money longer than gold, and therefore has created more innovation, more wealth. It's helped more people rise up from bondage than gold. You see, silver is the key to our personal freedom and sovereignty. Let's take a look at what's happening now, several areas of our world. 2017 was the year of the cryptocurrencies. 2018 is going to be the year of, well, who the hell knows? I don't think one person predicted cryptocurrencies would rise like they did last year. If someone claims they did, I need hard evidence to believe that. Venezuelan President Maduro, who announced Venezuela would be creating El Petro Crypto and backing it with gold and oil and diamonds, is one of the issues that's currently flying around, as it's captured some attention. And yet, since Maduro is typically seen as another socialist maniac, not very many people take him seriously. Well, Venezuela is in very serious monetary, economic, and financial trouble today. And according to Ken, that's Ken Shortkin, Maduro seems to be looking for a way to maintain his power and prominence. I don't care much about the guy's reasoning, but more concerned with the fact that he's willing to put his monetary challenge on the table for the world to see. Well, let's not forget, we've also got Iran. Is it a color revolution? Or is it an organic uprising? Seems to have manifested a very short order, as all the mainstream media is stepping and fetching, which gives it all the hallmarks of a contrived scenario that did not materialize by the people. And, of course, when you start talking about Iran, you've got to talk about the billions of dollars that were secretly flown to them in the middle of the night in the form of cash. In a mixed basket, by the way. Interesting stuff, is it not? Well, silver investors have continued to be discouraged about its seemingly low price. The market has experienced a fundamental change that we need to try to understand. Ever since governments removed silver from official coinage over a half century ago, the market has been supplemented by several billion ounces of silver. And the majority of that supply, my friends, has been depleted. And the reason the United States and other countries stopped producing official silver coinage wasn't due to any monetary conspiracy. Rather, it was based on a straightforward problem: supply versus demand. And because industrial silver consumption had skyrocketed after World War II, the silver market would have suffered deficits if the U.S. Treasury did not sell silver into the market. Now, it's interesting we bring up World War II. During World War II, our nickel, our 5-cent piece, contained 35% silver content. Did you know that? But during World War II, they ceased production of those holding. Oh, I'm sorry. I take that back. Whoa. I'm reversing the whole story. Nickel was far more valuable during World War II than silver. And so the federal government stepped in, took the nickel out, and put 35% silver content in those that three-year time period of World War II nickels, the Jefferson nickel. They're referred to as war nickels. And they're out there. About two, 3 years ago, I got some change, and I went to put the change in my pocket and said, something isn't right. It's something you can feel. If you've been around it, you know it, you feel it, you touch it, you smell it, or you could taste it. And I looked down, and sure enough, I had a World War II nickel, 35% silver content. Well, we're getting away from our story. You see, all of this was quite simple. There just was not enough silver to go around. So, governments began to reduce and ultimately eliminate silver from their coinage in the 1960s. A lot of that silver, which today is referred to as junk silver, was either purchased by investors or remelted, and the silver was sold back as supply into the market. Well, there's no way of knowing just how much of the older official junk silver remains in the market today, but the majority of it was recycled for much-needed supply. Now, I got to be honest. I'm not going to get into a sales pitch for buying junk silver tonight because I've not been able to stay up on it lately. Some months ago, this would have gone back to August when I first rejoined the network, we offered some junk silver packages, quarter bags, half bags, three-quarter bags, full bags, etc. And we sold a good number of the quarter bags of junk silver. And the price was the most fair price I had seen in so long. It was absolutely mind-blowing. I think that you paid, I don't know what, 50, 75 cents over its melt value, somewhere in that general area. What became interesting to me is just a few years ago, not even when silver was at its peak, my cost to buy junk silver was $7 an ounce over spot. There's different kinds of supply and demand. There's different variations. But you see, it's only old guys like me that understand the value of junk silver, an old dime, a quarter, a half dollar, etc. Oh, no, 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 no. You can't do that stuff. But it's just old guys like us that would be doing the bartering and the trading back and forth. You think you're going to walk into 7-Eleven and Ahmed Pac-Rat is going to understand the value of an old silver dime or a quarter? Well, maybe he does. But then he looks at it and says, no, no, no. This coin is too worn out. There is not as much silver content in it. I cannot give you this value amount. Don't kid yourself. That is exactly how it's going to be looked at. It's amongst the reasons I prefer either brilliant uncirculated old coins, not rarities, okay, or I prefer 1 ounce rounds, 1 ounce silver eagles, although I personally will not pay the premium to buy an eagle over a 1 ounce round that's properly stamped by a recognized company, et cetera, et cetera. But we've sit there watching over the years the dwindling down of government stocks, older official silver coinage. From 2000 to 2013, get this, governments sold collectively 636 million ounces of silver into the market. Net government sales were from stockpiled silver and older official coins. And yet in 2014, that supply completely dried up. And for the past 4 years, there haven't been any government silver sales, other than, you know, the U.S. Mint selling silver eagles, the Canadian Mint with the maple leaves, etc. Now, another interesting aspect is the declining amount of silver scrap supply. Keep in mind, up until the advent of the digital age, when all of our cameras are digital and we no longer produce negatives, etc., keep in mind, negatives were always silver in content. Old photographic negatives have massive amount of silver in them. And that stuff could get recycled. How many negatives old guys like us have still got sitting in boxes laying around? How much silver have you got sitting in a closet? Oh, but someday I want to reproduce them pictures. Good. Find somebody who can do it for you, okay? It's not going to be easy. Even to go to Costco, they ship it out now. To where? China? I don't know. 636 million ounces of silver were dumped on the market. I wonder if that helped to manipulate sales, huh? And values. Another interesting aspect, as I mentioned, declining amount of scrap silver. Even though the price of silver between 2015 and 2017 was much higher than it was between 2000 and 2007, scrap supply is considerably less. The price of silver in 2000 was $4.95 an ounce. Global scrap supply was 181 million. No, that's not right. 1.81 per ounce. And yet the silver price has been three times higher between 2015 and 17. But the average scrap supply has still remained much, much lower. So total supply from net government sales and recycled scrap in 2000 was, what, 241 million ounces? More than 100 million ounces than during the 15 to 17 period. That's a significant fundamental change in the silver market. The demonetization of silver by governments, especially the U.S. Treasury, was not only a necessary step to meet the insatiable global fabrication demand, but unfortunately, the negative side effect of that official policy decision was the elimination of silver as money or store of value to function only as a mere commodity. And so its value based on its cost of production, supply, and demand factors. And yet something changed in 2008 when the United States and the world faced a collapse of its financial system. Investors became worried about the exponentially rising amount of debt and money printing. And so purchases of silver as an investment soared. And according to the 2017 World Silver Survey, silver coin and bar demand tripled from 62 million ounces in 2007 to 197 million ounces by 2008. And of course, official silver coin sales also increased tremendously after 2007. In 2007, total official silver coin sales totaled 45 million ounces, but that number surged to 135 million ounces just, what, 3 years ago in 2015? From 07 to 2017, the forecast, official silver coin sales totaled 1,045 million ounces. That's one plus a billion ounces. That's weird. If we include the official coins sold since 2000, the grand total is nearly 1.3 billion ounces. How much of that do you have? What's important to understand about the 1.3 billion ounces of official coin sales is that this investor inventory will likely never be recycled as scrap supply the market. And yet furthermore, the majority of the 1 to 100 ounce silver bars will never be recycled as scrap either. Why? Because it's people like you and I that purchase this stuff for completely different reasons. We understand the weakness of the not-so-almighty fiat paper dollar. We're not that comfortable throwing all of our money into Wall Street and letting it sit waiting for the bubble to implode, and it will. In fact, one headline today claims that we will probably see a minimum 10% drop in the Dow and on Wall Street this year. Well, when you hit, 25,000, and that's only a 2,500 drop, that's nothing, comparatively speaking. But for those who waited to get in too late, it's a lot. And so, yes, it is true that both official silver coins, and that would be things like the Eagles, Canadian Maple Leafs, Vienna Philharmonics, the Australians, etc., etc., a lot of these coins and bars will be sold back into the market. They'll be generally repurchased by other retail investors. And thus, the majority of silver investment inventory is locked out as a future source of supply for the global fabrication demand. Now, according to a group called Metals Focus, in their 2015 report on the silver scrap market, only 3.5% of total scrap supplies in 2015 were from recycled coins. 3.5%. And the majority of that scrap coin supply came from older, unsold European official silver coins and blanks. And of the total supply of silver scrap in 2015, 55% was from recycled industrial scrap, 17% from silverware, i.e. the pawn shop, 14% from photography, and 10.5% from jewelry. So what becomes quite interesting is that most silver jewelry is not recycled. The low price of silver jewelry doesn't motivate holders to take it down to the pawn shop for cash. Only 8% of total silver jewelry demand in 2015 was recycled. And yet industrial silver recycling amounted to 18% of the total industrial silver consumption in that year. So if we include recycled silver from photographic usage, the total amount increases to 20%. So you see, the investor, that would be you and I, we have removed a certain amount of silver from the marketplace. And a large percent, 95 to 97% of that, will never likely be recycled and used as a future supply for global silver fabrication demand. And thus, any increase in global silver fabrication in the future will be met by stagnating or falling supply as world mine production continues to decrease while silver supply remains subdued. I remember when silver was in the 495 area, and yet it was not moving. Supply was terrible. You could not get untold amounts of silver eagles. You could not get untold amounts of bars. I remember in 2008, I had a gentleman came to me off my radio broadcast who was retiring from a university in the Midwest he worked at. This guy and I have actually become very good friends. He rolled his entire 401k into a precious metals IRA. Now, as a sales guy, it would behoove me to load him up with nothing but silver eagles and things like that. Oh, let's get the proof silver eagles. That's a ripoff. Just like the proof gold eagles and the proof gold eagle sets are a ripoff. We'll get into that maybe next week. And in October of 2008, there was a huge shortage of silver products across the board. Nobody could deliver. Not a single one of my regular suppliers that I dealt with on a continual day-to-day basis could deliver what I needed for this client. I contacted a very unusual source. It's a guy that I still do business with. As a matter of fact, some months ago, we acquired some Mexican Libertad silver coins, and they came from this supplier. We've got a marvelous relationship that's going on for years that extend far beyond our commonality of precious metals. He travels to Hong Kong four times a year, and he's always looking to fill certain needs for his list. Maybe one of these days we'll ship apple. Stick around. I'm going to get right back to this subject and more after the final break. All right.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Yeah, Sonny's theme. Sonny driving through the streets of Miami on his way, thinking he's about to die. Miami Vice, welcome back. Our final set for this evening. Talking about silver, to conclude, keep in mind that since 2007, 11 years now, the silver market has experienced a profound change. Investors concerned with the increasing amount of debt and leverage in our system have decided to acquire physical silver investment. And while demand for silver bars and coin declined during 2017, it's still a heck of a lot higher than it was before the 2007 U.S. housing and banking crisis. And what do you think is on the horizon? But finally, the reason to own investment silver has not changed. I'm talking about the real thing, not paper, not futures, not options trading, not ETFs, none of this. physical investment silver has not changed, even though the low price is not reflective of the massive amount of debt and money printing issued by the Federal Reserve and central banks all over this world in the past decade. Oh, yeah, it's true. Stocks and bonds and real estate and Bitcoin are where the masses have flocked to currently. But their highly inflated values are but a temporary phenomenon, my friends. And there's things that we can do. I want to share a story with you, which I've shared before, and I will continue to share this story many, many, many times over the years. Earlier in tonight's program, we shared with you some of the cost of living factors of 1970. And I probably should have done a little bit more homework and expanded out on some of this, the so-called cost of living in 1970. 1970. Silver, for the most part, had been eliminated from all of our legal tender coinage at the end of 1964. Our dimes, our quarters, and our half dollars no longer had 90% silver content in them. The half dollars maintained a 40% silver content up until, I believe, 1969. So by 70, there was nothing. They weren't really putting out commemorative issue coins with silver content in them until some years later. Oh, we had those, you know, that first run of commemorative state quarters that you could get in the regular spendable format, or you could get the investment grade. You'd go on late night television and here's some guy hawking this stuff, you know, all certified MSG, you know, PCGS, NGC, or other grading services. And it was insane the prices I saw people pay for that stuff. And that's where some of the silver went to. But let's go back, not to 1970, let's go back to 1958, when I first began to buy silver at the age of 10. And once again, sitting in a bank vault at Maquonago, Wisconsin, the Citizens Bank of Maquonago. And my grandfather, I'd walk in there two or three times a month, and we'd sit down in a vault, and the lovely lady would have a bag of silver coins brought into us. Silver dollars. Peace dollars. We would go through 1,000 peace dollars in an afternoon, hand selecting each and every one that we want to add to our holdings. And we would build complete rolls of 20 coins to a roll. 1922s, 23s, 25s, 24s. They weren't a collectible. They were still legal tender. And as I've shared with you before, after the second time we went in there, I asked my grandfather, "Gramps, why are we doing this?" He said, "Because the day is going to come that they're going to do the same thing to the silver in our money that SOB Roosevelt did with our gold. They're going to take it away from us." Well, for every silver dollar that we purchased from the bank on each of those respective days that summer, we paid a dollar a coin. Now, what do you think those coins were worth in 1970? They had to have been worth more than a dollar. They had to have been at least worth what spot silver was worth. I'd have to do a little bit of homework to determine that. A dollar. How many dollars does it take to buy that new home today? You remember the house that in 1970 cost $23,450? What's the average cost of a new home in this country today? $225, $250? I don't know. Doesn't make any difference. What's your home worth? And it's only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it today. So just use your brain a little bit. Maybe your house is only worth $85,000 because of where you live, or $125,000. Look, I've been looking at houses in Tennessee for the last year that, man, I can buy some unbelievable homes for just superb money. And me, like Chris Stapleton, give me a little Tennessee whiskey. And frankly, Michael, if you can find that piece of music, let's use it to run this program out with tonight. But it's Chris Stapleton's a great piece of tunes. How many paper dollars does it cost to buy that brand new house today? Let's just say you're looking at a $200,000 house. It takes 200,000 paper dollars. How many of those old peace dollars that my grandfather and I bought for a buck a piece that still say $1 on them, how many of those would it take? Well, let's take a look here. Just for curiosity's sake, let's take 200,000 bucks. And let's take this figure. That's interesting. It'll cost $200,000 cash plus closing fees, et cetera, to buy a $200,000 house today. Do you know how many of those old peace dollars it would take? Only 8,163. How well have your paper dollars held up? The peace dollars were comprised of 90% silver content. Now think about that for a second. How about if you had some old Morgan dollars? All right, let's take that and take a look. Possibly as few as 5,000 of the old Morgan dollars it would take to pay cash for that $200,000 house today. But let's split the difference. Let's just do something a little bit more realistic. Let's take the other peace dollar, or Morgan dollar. $7,500 of them. So you see how these old coins in value have held up and stood up to inflation, to government manipulation. So even with silver at today's somewhat depressed prices, where many of us believe they should be, those old lawful legal tender by constitutional dictum have gone a long way in holding value, haven't they? They will buy. It takes far fewer of them than it does this worthless, foldable, rollable, snortable, smokable fiat dollars. I'm being a little facetious here, but you can come up with and understand what it is I'm talking about. So let's take this a little bit further. It's been quite some weeks since I made any kind of an offer on the program. Part of it's been the holiday realm. Part of it was my illness that kept me off the air for far too many times. How I'm managing to do 2 hours tonight, I don't know, but I'm managing. And I'm glad to be here with you. And some of the things I get into get repetitious. They get boring to you. I'm not here to sing, you know, come on, baby, light my fire. It's a reality thing. These are serious issues. We go back and talk about the interview with James and Dennis, about some of the preparations and some of the things that they have done. Wouldn't you like to sit there and say, my God, Marge, we never thought about it. We got all these peace dollars and these Morgan dollars that we bought 20, 30, 40 years ago that we've been sitting on. And we're wondering how we're going to pay our mortgage off. Why not? But still hang on to some of them. Get it paid off. You've been sitting on the ability to get yourself out of debt and live comfortably and freely for the rest of your lives. I'd like to be able to do that 10, 20 years from now. Whether I'll still be around or not is questionable. But my grandchildren will be. And it's one of the ways that I can help get them set up. I've got a granddaughter getting ready to start college next fall. Now, we've had some things take place in our home or in our lives. We've had nearly $150,000 worth of fraud committed on us. I'm not looking for your sympathy. That's not why I'm sharing with you this. That $150,000 would have paid for my granddaughter's entire college education and had a lot of money left over. That's the way you've got to look at these things. Maybe you have no health insurance, and all of a sudden you've got to face surgery, heart, cancer, whatever the case may happen to be. Well, if it's cancer, let's talk another time. But the fact of the matter is, there's things that we could have been doing in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, and yes, even the 80s. Silver hit $50 an ounce and dropped like a rock. And it'll always do that. Nothing stays up forever. Nothing stays down forever. You take advantage of these things while they're available to you. I know what my payoff is on my mortgage right now. Within pennies, okay? If I was sitting with a bunch of old Morgan dollars, the pre-1920 ones, not that I'm going to complain about the 21s. I'd be happy to take them. Now, let's just use those. Good average. How many of those old 1921 Morgan dollars would it take to pay off my $135,000 mortgage? Now, that's on a house we bought 12 years ago and we paid $320,000 for. It ain't worth that today because the market came down in this neighborhood and it's never recovered because they've allowed too many slugs to move into the neighborhood that are destroying it. They don't care. So how many of those old Morgan dollars it would take me? That's not right. Try that again. Yeah, take me just about 5,100 old 1921 Morgan dollars to pay this house off. Pay the mortgage off. Be completely debt-free. How about if I had the older Morgan dollars? Yep, I know that. Boy, that would be nice. Woo! Try this one. Cost me $3,375 of those. A $1 investment for an old silver dollar so many years ago. If I'd have bought $3,375 Morgan dollars that many years ago, paid $1 a piece for them and put them away, that $3,375 would pay off a $135,000 mortgage today. That is maintaining your wealth. That is maintaining control of your financial life and your future and that of your children and grandchildren. And that's why it's amongst the reasons I always go back to U.S. minted silver dollars, real ones. American Eagles, they're going to follow what Spot does within a couple of bucks. That's all they're going to do. Not to knock it. Better to have those than nothing. But these have got a track record that is so darned amazing. So I want you to grab a paper and pencil. I want you to make a couple of notes. I will also tell you that what I'm about to share with you has not been posted yet at Kettle Moraine Precious Metals under the Treasure Hunt segment. If you go to republictrading.org, republicbroadcasting.org tonight and click on the silver bullet, you're going to go to a generic page. And it's going to say, hey, we've been out at the mines. We've been digging. We've been digging up treasure. We don't have anything to offer. That's godsense. I've got an offer for you tonight. Three of them, as a matter of fact, or four if you want to get funny and technical. And they go from high to low. Yeah, I love pre-1921 Morgan silver dollars. To me, the most beautiful silver coin ever minted by the U.S. Mint. And keep in mind, at the end of World War I, when they eventually came out with the peace dollar, a lot of the old circulated Morgan dollars were either hoarded or melted down, which means they eventually went back into a recycling mode. Okay? And they got turned into whatever for making negative film and creating a wide range of things. So let's take a look at what these three offers are. And because they're interesting, proof is in the pudding. First of all, at the high end of the transaction, we can get, we can acquire pre-1921 Morgan silver dollars. Now, these are brilliant uncirculated coins. They had never been placed in circulation. Those numbers are dwindling because people are hanging on to them. I can get lower quality ones and save you some money. But let's talk about the uncirculated pieces. They're basically pretty shiny. They're pretty new. They were in bags. They got moved around. They got bag marks. But they had never been placed in human hands. They'd never been circulated or spent in a store. We're talking about $40 per coin. That's held up pretty well. Something you could have bought back in the 50s for a buck. $800 a roll. That's $800 per roll. There's 20 coins to a roll, okay? Now let's drop. A Morgan dollar is a Morgan dollar. Why do I have to get the pre-1921s? Well, they're more desirable because they're considerably scarcer. They're rarer, albeit still not rare coins. They're not certified. They're in tubes. That's how they're going to come delivered to you. But the pre-21s were minted in far lower numbers. The 21s were minted in far higher numbers, and then they got stuck in government vaults, and they sat there. And they never went through the big meltdown process that the older ones did. So we can pick up 1921 Morgan dollars for $26.50 a piece. That's $530 a roll. Let me check my math just to make sure. 26.50 times 20. Good boy, it comes up with zero. I like that one. Yeah, what is going on with my calculator? 2.50 times 20 equals $530 a roll. So you can get the pre-21s for $800 a roll, or you can get the 1921 Morgan dollars, also brilliant uncirculated. Everything on the coin is exactly alike except the date. Yeah. The design never changed on the Morgan silver dollar, ever. Not a difference in the size of the head, not the number of feathers on the eagle, nothing. $800 a roll for pre-21s, $530 a roll for the 1921 Morgan dollars. You can also pick up piece dollars. Now, here's something interesting about all three of these. The same size, the same weight, the same amount of silver, the same purity. Oh, that's right, because that's what the United States Constitution dictated the weight and the measurement of that coin had to be. $24.50 per coin for the brilliant uncirculated piece dollars. $490 a roll. But for those of you who want to do something a little unusual, and I doubt we'll get any takers on this, why not pick up one roll of each? One roll of piece dollars, one roll of 1921 Morgan dollars, and one roll of pre-1921 Morgan dollars. Oh, the pre-1921s, 1907 and older. They didn't mint them between 1907 and 1921. They came back with one final year of mintage and then played switch hitter midstream and came out with the piece dollar. That's what happened. So they just kind of stuck the other ones away. You'd think they would have melted them down. And then they figured, what a waste. Let's just go ahead and do this. And that's what they did. But you can get one roll of each. $1,820 for one roll of each. But I'm sitting here saying, wait a minute. I'll take the piece dollars. What do I care? I'll take the 1921 Morgans. And I'm going to get 60 coins for a heck of a lot less than 1820. So it's a real mixed bag deal. A single roll of 1921 or pre-1921 Morgans, those would be 1907s or older, those will cost you $800 a roll. But the best buys are the 1921s at $530 a roll or the piece dollars at $490 a roll. They're all uncirculated. One roll, 10 rolls, 1,000 coins, you call it. Oh, by the way, the cost of shipping, a flat $20 per order. Per order. Take advantage of this. two ways to do it. The fastest way to reach me after this program, you can try calling, and I invite you to do so. Area code 623-327-1778. 623-327-1778. You can call me, leave me a name, a number. I'll call you back as soon as I'm able to. The fastest way, once again, go to that little silver bullet, Republic Trading Group or republicbroadcasting.org. Click on it. It'll take you to a page. Phone number's there. My email address is there. You'll actually reach me faster by email. Be prepared to move. I don't know what the limitations are. I don't know how many numbers we've got. But as of 3 hours ago, I was told all of this is set. We're set to go. These are the prices. Even though silver's gone up the last couple of days, I've had no change in price. That's good. That's the kind of commitment I make to you. Does it not make any sense to you? Remember this. 40, 50 years ago, each one of those coins could have been purchased for $1. And today they're worth between $24.50 and $40 a coin, depending on which coin you choose to go with. Get the most you can for the money. Think about it in terms of what you would have done 40, 50 years ago, what you could have done to buy a house, what you could do to pay off your mortgage, pay off your car, pay off your kids' school debt, if you'd have bought those coins so many years ago for that kind of money, and what they're purchasing and their value is today. That is the value of silver. That is the value of an old coin that contains silver. And that's the way you need to look at things. So once again, a full roll of pre-1921 Morgan dollars at $800 a roll, 1921 Morgan dollars in brilliant uncirculated condition at $530 a roll, and brilliant uncirculated piece dollars at $490 a roll. $20 per order. You order one roll, it's $20 shipping. You order 10 rolls, 50 rolls, it's $20 shipping. That's it. You're covered. How long they'll be available to us, I don't know. These are the kind of offerings I'll continue to come back to. They have proven the test of time. My God, 60 years ago, I was buying these things for $1 a piece. And they've certainly far outlasted the time of the lousy dollar. Well, look, I want to thank you for sharing your valuable time with me this evening. I get off the air. I've got to grab a drink, calm my voice down. You want to give us a call tonight, tomorrow's okay. Shoot me an email. Let me know what it is you have in mind. If you need me to review any of this via email or via the phone, glad to do it. Your personal check, more than acceptable to make payment for this. I don't want you to waste your money lining the pockets of the banks with their bank wiring fees, because you pay it and I pay it. And guess what? I get to pay it again when I wire out these suppliers. You guys take care of yourselves. Lord willing, I'll see you next Tuesday. Another installment of Protecting Your Wealth right here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Take care. Good night.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.